Welcome to Movie Maniacs. Mike Rags and Chuck Curry discussing the greatest movies of all time and all the new films in theaters and streaming that you need to know about. Like us, rate us, share us. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Rags and Chuck Curry.
All right, Chuck, we are ready for another edition of Movie Maniacs, another quarantine edition, unfortunately, as we move forward towards Memorial Day weekend next weekend, which used to be the start of everything as far as summer movie seasons go. It's going to be a different kind of Memorial Day weekend this weekend, obviously, unless you consider the release of Scoob on VOD kicking off the way things are now, Chuck. It is time for our Memorial Day, like, just kind of celebrations. We look back at all the movies that were released on Memorial Day and what they meant to us. Chuck, it's Movie Maniacs right here on Wobo 1190 and 107.5 FM, and of course the podcast. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm doing this from my palatial estate in Strasburg, Pennsylvania. I know you're in your palatial estate from Indiana.
Yes, everybody stay home.
How's the weather in Indiana, by the way?
It's actually gorgeous today.
Yeah, here too. Here too.
Yeah. And I'm going to go outside and enjoy the weather as we move forward. Our state's opening up. Movie theaters are opening up within a couple of weeks. So it's going to be interesting because movies aren't being released, really. And movie theaters are starting to open up. So what are they playing, Chuck?
Well, that's not the case here in the Poconos of Pennsylvania. So you tell me how it's going to play out in Indiana movie theaters. What's the here's the one thing. I do follow one movie theater on Facebook. I think it's called the Promethea. I think it's in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I saw their restrictions for opening. 25% capacity.
Right.
No concessions.
Right.
In and out. No harboring in the lobby.
Right.
Social distancing. So basically, you'll walk in, you'll see a movie, you'll sit very far from the next person. I'm assuming you wear a face mask. When the movie ends, you leave. No eating popcorn, candy, so on and so forth in the theater. I guess it's better than nothing.
I guess. Are they taking temperatures as you walk in, too, or?
No.
All right. Well, usually when I go to the movies, it is the middle of the day. No one's there, and I don't get congestions anyway. So my world's not going to change too much. I don't really go on those Friday night, Saturday night, big nights anymore, Chuck.
You're wearing the mask the whole movie, yes or no?
No.
Okay.
I won't be. Mm-hmm. I haven't worn a mask yet, but that's more of a side topic for our movies. This is a celebration of movies and how much we love them. Chuck, have you got a chance to see anything or watch anything besides The Walking Dead over the last
No, just
week?
Walking Dead. Like I told you, I own three small businesses. I've been really busy with my routine. I do wear a mask. I would say 99.9% of the people, the patrons who come and do wear a face mask here where my business is in Strasburg and East Strasburg, Pennsylvania.
All right, and there is some movie news we wanted to get to here, Chuck, and I know you have a couple of interesting this day in movie news, and I've got a couple of interesting birthdays for Fast Five we want to get to. What do you got for us?
Just one bit of movie news I got first is Josh Gad, who's doing a really fun job with the retrospective reunions of both The Goonies and Back to the Future.
Yes.
He's been cast as the lead in Roland Emmerich's new disaster film called Moonfall. Which is sort of like a reworking of Armageddon. I guess he's going to play a nerdy type character, so he fits the bill. Roland Emmerich's clout is not really the same since he did Independence Day, in my opinion. He's had more than a few clunkers. I did enjoy 2012, but his last few films, also including Independence Day 2, not so hot, Mike.
Now, and interesting that he's casting Josh Gad, who, yeah, you're right, the Back to the Future reunion was as good as the Goonies one. I really enjoyed it. And
yeah, I agree.
He's been busy, Josh Gad. There's no doubt about it. I'm not quite sure how big his mass appeal is other than Olaf for the kids. But then
you're
again,
gonna, you're going to need some supporting cast around that, though.
I would think so. John Cusack's available. I'm just saying.
Let's go.
By the way, we do want to mention we did have a pretty big passing away this last week. Not a major movie star, but an iconic TV actor and part of the Stiller and Mira team. Jerry Stiller finally passed away at 92, Chuck. A great long life and a great career highlighted mainly by Frank Costanza that really took him to another level. And then he would go on to basically play the part again on King of Queens. But he had a superstardom towards the golden years of his life. And I'll tell you what, you could throw Frank Costanza in the top 10, maybe characters, at least side characters on a TV show ever. I highly enjoyed him on Seinfeld.
Well, what movie from the early 1970s did we love him in? Serious role.
He's one of the ones that figures out who the bad guys are at the end of The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. There's no doubt about it.
Great movie.
And a perfect look for the role he was playing. And nobody looked more New Yorker than he did at that time and ever, really. Of course, the dad of Ben Stiller and, Stiller and Ann Mira. My dad grew up watching them. They would pop up on, variety shows all the time doing their comedy act. And it hurt a little. I got to be honest with you, because Frank Costanza, and then the whole Jay Buhner rant. Jay Buhner actually started trending on Twitter because of when he told off George Steinbrenner, when even though his son might be dead, he was more concerned about Jay
Buhner. See, I want to bounce off this because this week in TV history, 1998, actually May 14th, 1998, last two-part episode of Seinfeld aired on NBC to 76.3 million viewers. Couple things. You're never going to get a network TV show to get 76 million viewers again.
No.
Super Bowl is the only collective experience left, correct?
Correct.
And it was disappointing, that episode, no?
It was. It was more of a retrospective, let's bring as many characters back as we possibly can without having a real story or a lot of laughs around it. But, upon repeat viewing, it's not as bad as, the high you were hoping to get when you first watched it. And then the letdown of them going to jail at the end. But, when a series is that good, I don't think it could ever live up to what people want at the end.
So just curious, I was thinking about this when I saw that tidbit of news. Best last episodes, MASH got to be one of them.
Newhart is one of my favorites.
Newhart. I know it was very polarizing, but I actually loved the last episode of Lost.
It
was very, very moving. I loved it. I mean, I even repeat viewings. I absolutely loved the last episode of Lost. True Blood was a bad one. I loved that show, but that last episode was awful. And remember, people always talked about the last episode of St. Elsewhere, how the whole series was
snow globe. Yeah,
snow globe was in a autistic boy's head, I believe.
Yes, it was.
Really interesting.
Happy Days was a good final episode.
I thought it was.
Joni and Chachi getting married. And,
we
could spend a whole show on final
episodes. No, that's a good one. Good Times did a good last one. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving forward. By the way, I did bring up Scoob getting released on VOD this weekend, and I kind of scoffed at it, but it's another kids movie that was supposed to get a major movie release in the summer of this year that is now conceded to, much like Trolls did, to go on home viewing, and I'm sure it's going to do pretty big business streaming-wise, and it is $19.99 to watch, $25 to buy it. Chuck, I think it's going to probably do pretty well this weekend. My sister's going to get it. I was actually debating getting it for my daughter. If it was $6, it'd be easy buy. $20, that's a night out. That's a couple of dinners, you know?
I told you that makes you think harder.
Yeah.
$19.99, I don't know if it's the right price point.
I don't know either.
$9.99 is $6, absolutely.
Yes, no doubt about it. Other than that, any other movie news? I know there was some rumblings of Avatar. There's some news there, screenshots, and James Cameron making the rounds a little bit too. He has just totally lost touch with reality to believe that people still care about this series, Chuck.
I don't. It doesn't excite me. It really doesn't. Even though the original Avatar, I think it's the biggest hit of all time theatrically.
Yeah.
And it doesn't resonate with me in any real way. Don't really care. I got a couple other things. In a poll, 80% of moviegoers say they want to go back to the movies in July, Mike. Let's see. Let's hope.
Yeah, July, and you're getting movies like Unhinged is going to come out in July, Chuck, and we saw the trailer for that with Russell Crowe channeling his best Michael Douglas and then going over the top with Falling Down, and boy, oh boy, he's turned into a modern-day Marlon Brando when you never know how much he's going to weigh when he's in a movie, and he is quite heavy in this film and quite unhinged as he terrorizes a a housewife here, Chuck. It's an interesting trailer.
Yeah, it is. You know, I was a little surprised when I watched it because it's an independent movie. It's not a studio, big studio movie, but I guess the production company feels they have an opportunity to put it in a spot where it could do well if people go back to the movies. It'll be the first, they say the first film released theatrically. It'll have a marketing campaign. I say to myself, this is a guy who was unbelievable in Gladiator, fantastic actor, and basically this is a B movie.
This isn't that big of a leap from a Nicolas Cage straight to video release, but he adds a little clout to it.
I'm sure he got a good paycheck though.
I'm sure he did. There's no doubt about it.
Also this week in film history, 1994, Pulp Fiction premiered at the Cannes Film Festival. Tell me the ramifications of that one.
Well, it changed the way movies were made in the 90s, that's for sure, especially writer-director movies, especially movies circled around a bunch of characters and there's violence. It started a genre, there's no doubt about it. And then, obviously, it took Quentin Tarantino and John Travolta to another level.
Absolutely. As we spoke about on the show, Travolta, at that point, the next decade, big movie after big movie, big paycheck after big paycheck, Face Off, Michael, so many.
Yeah. Phenomenon. Yeah, it's great stuff. And I did hear too, the Disney Plus is planning on releasing Hamilton on streaming services, Chuck. It's basically the play is going to be on the screen. And I think that's a great coup for them to get. I think that's going to do major business for Lin-Manuel.
Now, here's the thing. There was a bidding war on this property. I guess they used extensive cameras to have a immersed type of feel to a Broadway show. It's the original cast. I think 2 weeks before the original cast left, they filmed this. Here's what's interesting, Mike. There was a bidding war. Disney ultimately paid $75 million for this.
Wow.
They were supposed to have a big worldwide release, heavy promotion, and now straight to Disney Plus. I get why they're doing it. Listen, they're going to take a big investment, but if you look at the streaming world, Disney's going to gain more and more market share here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And they win. I think they win by losing that money anyway here, Chuck. I really do. I don't think, you know, Disney can print money at this time. But, you know, it's interesting to see the parks deciding on what they're going to be doing come June and July as well. Disney World's going to be weird, I think, this fall with social distancing. You might be able to get on rides a little bit quicker than you used to. I don't know if you're going to see the two-hour lines anymore because they're just not going to be allowed to have as many people in the park as they normally would.
I'll tell you who's going to make the big money, Mike. Companies making, producing hand sanitizer.
Yeah, and no doubt about it.
I mean, think about it. For years to come.
Yep. All right, Chuck, we're going to go through Memorial Day weekends here and talk about some of our memories of the big ones that came out over the last 40 years. But let's do a quick fast five because there's some decent actors and actresses that either had a birthday or would have had a birthday this weekend. Let's start with Dennis Hopper, Chuck, who died back in 2010. He would have been 84 years old this weekend. Obviously, iconic and Easy Rider and Blue Velvet. But I think for you and me, it's two movies, Hoosiers and Speed.
I tell you, he had a big run when he did Speed and Waterworld. But Hoosiers is it for me. He's just iconic in that role with Gene Hackman playing an alcoholic who becomes the team's assistant coach. It's just a great performance. It's fun. It's involving. It's memorable. I love Hoosiers.
Oscar nomination for that. He actually did that movie the same year as Blue Velvet. Let's not forget, he was also a villain on 24, and I can't remember. I think it was
He was. He was good.
Day two or three, he was really good on that, too. Yep. I can't remember which year it was. But, Chuck, we talk about the Back to the Future reunion that happened this past week. Robert Zemeckis was part of it and was really good to see the cast. But no Biff. I don't know where Biff was, what he was doing, why he couldn't be there.
I think he did something later on. There's something on YouTube with Biff.
Oh, good.
He comes back. He does a Biff impression, recreates the scene.
Robert Zemeckis is having a birthday, and he is 69 years old this weekend. And, you know, I'm Back to the Future, yes, but Forrest Gump, Contact, he's done a lot of great stuff as a director. Is there one that you love more than others?
I'd probably go Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future is probably mine too. Although I am a big fan of Contact. I think it's underrated.
And I think that Back to the Future trilogy is as good a trilogy as any.
Yeah, and let's not forget, he co-wrote that as well. And also, let's not forget, he directed Romancing the Stone.
He did.
Early in his career, and that's a real good film. Cate Blanchett, Chuck, the beautiful actress, and I love her. She adds a touch of class in every movie she's in. Believe it or not, she's 51 this weekend.
And I heard she just signed on for a bunch of films. Very well sought after. She's really good.
She's great. Is there one role that pops out in your mind?
Bounce a few at me.
Well, she's in the Lord of the Rings movies. She's also in that movie, The Missing, with Tommy Lee Jones, the Western that was directed by Ron Howard. She did The Gift, which I'm a fan of, too. She played Clairvoyant. That was a decent movie. How about she's also in Bandits. She's also Maid Marian in Robin Hood with Russell Crowe.
She's just one of those actresses. She's just good in everything.
And, of course, she's in the Elizabeth movie that she got nominated. And the Blue Jasmine, the Woody Allen movie. She's actually very good in that film.
Right.
She's done a lot of great work. I'd like to see her a lot more on the big screen in kind of more mainstream movies. She doesn't do a lot of that, Chuck. How about
Deborah? She's in Thor Ragnarok, though.
Yes, she was in Thor. How about Deborah Winger, who is 65
Officer and a Gentleman.
Easy?
Hands down.
No, Terms of Endearment, hands down.
Yeah, I don't know. Not for me, but okay.
Not Forget Paris, her co-starring role with Billy Crystal.
She tried to make sort of a interesting actress. I mean, there's a lot of off behind-the-scenes stuff on Deborah Winger. I remember her in that Steve Martin movie. What was that one? I liked a lot of that movie, not everything.
Made in Heaven. Made in Heaven.
Man preacher.
Yeah, why can't I think of the name? A Leap of Faith. Yeah.
Michael Keaton, for just a quick tidbit of movie news. Michael Keaton was supposed to star in that movie and then bowed out, and then Steve Martin came in. I like Steve Martin a lot in that movie, actually.
That's interesting. Pierce Brosnan, Chuck, who played Bond, I believe it was the 6 movies I think he played Bond in.
No, not that many.
No, are you sure?
I think it was 4.
The GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies. Maybe I'm overestimating.
Yeah, I think it was 4.
But anyway, well, let's pick something that wasn't a Bond movie.
Dante Speak.
Nah, I knew you were going to say that.
I love it. Listen, I love his chemistry with Linda Hamilton. I really do. I think it's really damn good chemistry, and I think their character sequences in that movie elevate that really well. It's a solid film.
And I actually, excuse me, I actually loved him in Mamma Mia. I'm a huge Mamma Mia fan. I thought
you like his singing in it, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? It doesn't really matter at that point in time.
It's fine.
And I thought he was really good in a movie that came out a few years ago, No Escape, where he co-stars with, of all people, Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie, Chuck.
Yeah,
Owen Wilson's family gets trapped in, I forget what city it was, and he's got arrested. It's really good stuff. Underrated movie that probably not too many people have seen.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Chuck, before we move on to Memorial Day weekend, and I texted you this the other day, but somehow, some way, Amazon Prime, I found this tremendous, and I mean really good, documentary on Galaxy Quest. It's the 20th anniversary of Galaxy Quest. Mm-hmm. And they put together this unbelievable documentary. All the stars are back, and they pay homage to this wonderful film that was done back in the day. And we rave about this film. It's done really well. I mean, the only actor's not there is Alan Rickman, and that's because he passed away. All the creators are there. If you're a fan of Galaxy Quest, watch this. It's called Never Surrender. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's really good stuff. Even Sam Rockwell's part of it, Chuck, and I loved his role in that film. It's really done very well, and I highly recommend it. I wanted to bring that up. And I know you're a fan of that film.
I love that movie, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people consider it, like, they had people like J.J. Abrams talking about the influence that this movie's had, and a lot of people consider it the second best Star Trek movie. That's how much they love this film, Chuck. It's not really a Star Trek movie, but it kind of is. It took that William Shatner skit from SNL and just put it in a different world. You know what I'm saying?
It works on a few levels.
Chuck, let's go through Memorial Day weekends here. And, you know, back in the day, this would be the start of summer movies.
Sure
would. The big one would come out, and then you'd have July 4th, another big one would come out. But Memorial Day weekend, somehow later on, as we get closer to now, it April became the let's get a movie out early,
a big movie,
especially a Marvel movie would come out in April now. But it used to be Memorial Day weekend. We wouldn't get anything big until that first weekend.
They move the they get it earlier and earlier. March is now considered some of the big films. You know, it's interesting. I just thought it popped in my head. Remember the year without a Santa Claus?
Yeah.
It's going to be the year without Memorial Day movies.
It's quite incredible. And, you know, back in the early 80s, it hadn't set the trend just yet, Chuck. You know, it wasn't until 1984, our favorite movie year, that it really started changing. Yes, you'd have Return of the Jedi come out, but Rocky III would come out. But the fanfare and the hype really wouldn't start until 1984 when Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom started the trend of let's bring out the movie, the big guns, to start the summer. And that's the big guns, no doubt about it. You're a huge fan of that film.
I saw it four times in the theater. I saw it originally at the Kingsway, I believe, in Brooklyn, New York. And big crowds. My favorite Indiana Jones by far. I really do. I actually love that film.
Yeah, I do too. And it just never stopped. Relentless.
And I love that. And people have issues with the relentlessness of its action. And that's why I love it so much.
85, mm-hmm. Rambo First Blood Part 2 would come out Memorial Day weekend, along with the mass release of A View to a Kill. A Bond movie would come out on Memorial Day weekend.
A View to a Kill starring Roger Moore stuntman.
And no. Fletch also came out Memorial Day weekend too, a big summer hit for Chevy Chase.
I love me some Rambo too, Mike.
Yeah.
I love big crowd pleaser. That movie's good. That
Rambo
movie
2 works.
That movie works.
It does. And actually it's funny because Stallone, we mentioned Rocky III would come out earlier in I believe 1982.
Yeah.
He would do this. And then the next year, Memorial Day weekend, Cobra would come out Memorial Day weekend. Chuck, you're the disease. Crime's the disease and Cobra's the cure.
It's very watchable.
It is.
But here's the thing. I think we're at a point in time, and thank God for Die Hard in 1988, which changed the way an action hero was perceived. But I think a character like Frank, I think his name was Frank Cobretti, took himself a little bit too seriously, no?
Yes. It's interesting, too, because the trend also released a sequel. We'd get a lot of sequels on Memorial Day weekends too. Poltergeist 2, The Other Side, opened up against Cobra, Chuck, that weekend. I find that watchable. I know it gets a little bit off the rails a little bit, but there's some good scares in that film, Poltergeist 2. No? Not a big fan?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I remember seeing it with some friends in Staten Island when it came out. I was disappointed.
Speaking of sequels, Beverly Hills Cop 2, we're both fans of that. That would come out the following year, 1987, on Memorial Day weekend, along with Ernest Goes to Camp. I think you were at the theaters to see Ernest, and then first, right? And then you saw Beverly Hills Cop 2.
I don't remember seeing Ernest in the theater. I think I waited for VHS.
All right, Chuck.
And I did. Listen, Beverly Hills Cop 2 didn't have quite the energy of the original, but I still liked it.
I did, too. More sequels continue in 87. Back to, you know, the follow-up to Crocodile Dundee would come out, one of the worst sequels of all time, opened up against Rambo 3. So another Stallone Memorial Day weekend release, Chuck.
And Crocodile Dundee 2 killed it at the box office.
Oh, what a horrible, horrible movie.
I got to tell you about Rambo 3. I know there's a lot of naysayers to it. I really dug it.
Yeah, you know, the week before that, Willow was out. So Willow was out with these two movies on Memorial Day weekend. And that was a kind of a disappointment for George Lucas and Ron Howard. Although a very watchable film, to say the least. Indy would return in May of 1989, Chuck, with The Last Crusade. And I just remember going to the Stroud Mall out by you. And on my way in, my cousin was walking out of the theater.
Wow.
And with her friend. And we got to talk. We hadn't seen her in a long time. And she actually said, it's okay. I'm like, well, first of all, don't do that when people are walking in, when you know people are going to go in to see the film.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you couldn't be more wrong. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is a hell of a lot of fun.
I liked it.
Well, that's the kind of insight we pay for there.
No, Chuck. Here's the thing. The only thing I did not like, and I do like it, a couple of things. I was a little thrown that Sean Connery sort of playing not the tough guy hero.
Right.
They flip him, but over time he's grown on me tremendously. Not a big fan of the female lead, but it is a good movie.
And then you put that next to the one that came out more recently, and it looks like, you know, looks like Citizen Kane.
Heck yeah.
Back to the Future Part 3, the trilogy would wrap up May of 1990, Memorial Day weekend, Chuck, and I think this is a huge crowd-pleasing, a hell of a lot of fun movie, and it works on a lot of different levels, and it's a perfect wrap-up to the entire. Remember, the Back to the Future 2 came out, just a few months prior in 89.
Well, they did a rarity back in the day. They filmed 2 and 3 back-to-back. And they had people had issues because at the end of part two, it's a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
With a trailer to part three. I don't think that's ever been done before.
No, but it worked big time. I remember seeing the end of two. I thought it was great.
And let me tell you something. I love the end of two. I think part three is a definition of some real movie magic. That last half hour.
Yep. It's another level.
It's great stuff. It is.
And listen to this lineup of movies in May of 1991, Chuck. All came out Memorial Day weekend. Backdraft, Hudson Hawk, Only the Lonely, Thelma and Louise. Mm. I mean, you talk about some major movies. And I'm sure the studios were thinking Hudson Hawk would come out of this head and shoulders above everything else. But I think the one that has the longest really resonance is probably Thelma and Louise, although we both love Backdraft.
Yeah.
They probably just shouldn't have had a villain as a firefighter. And a sweet movie is Chris Columbus's Only the Lonely. So these are all four very watchable films on different levels. But I think the best film is Thelma and Louise. And it had the most staying power, too, because it would become a summer hit through the entire year and actually get nominated as well for Ridley Scott.
Agree.
Do you remember which one you went to see first, though?
Backdrift.
Yeah, I think it might have
been
Backdraft.
I've seen all of them, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, when I remember seeing Only the Lonely.
Great film.
And I got to tell you, John Candy's best movie.
It's hard to argue. It's his best performance. I love that film.
But I was blown away about how pleasantly surprised I was. It's a very sweet, enjoyable film. Really good. And also, I remember seeing Hudson Hawk. You couldn't help but walk into a theater being influenced by how viciously tarnished the critics went at that film.
Yeah, it was over the top, but there are a lot of flaws with the film. Let's not kid ourselves.
It's a ridiculous movie. It has fun moments, but it's insanely over the top.
Yeah.
It's written by the guy who did Heathers. And I love Heathers.
Yeah.
It's a strange movie. It has a cult appeal, though. But the critics were vicious to that film.
Yeah, it wasn't right. Chuck, in 1992, pretty much everybody stayed away from Sister Act. That came out. Whoopi Goldberg's basically follow-up to Ghost. That was a huge hit, obviously.
It was a huge hit.
And Sister Act would spawn some sequels as well. That's a very funny movie, Chuck. And that's one of those movies where it's the perfect vehicle for the perfect star.
Touchstone movie.
Yep, Touchstone Pictures released it.
Heavily promoted, heavily marketed, big audience favorite, big, huge movie in Whoopi Goldberg's career, no doubt.
And it's interesting, too, the weekend before Far and Away comes out from Ron Howard, and here's three films that came out around Memorial Day weekend that, you know, never really caught audiences. That's Willow, Backdraft, and Far and Away. Uh-huh. All good Ron Howard films, Far and Away a little overblown, but, you know, he never found that niche of huge audiences until probably Apollo 13.
Probably. I remember Far and Away, mediocre.
Yeah, great John Williams story.
I remember buying it on – I don't think I saw it in the theater, but I do remember buying it on Laserdisc.
All right, Chuck.
1993,
another one of those – a lot of movies came out Memorial Day weekend, but none bigger than Cliffhanger, which starred, once again, Sylvester Stallone – on a Memorial Day weekend. Made in America, another Whoopi Goldberg movie that was a flop, came out in Super Mario Brothers, which was an absolute disaster of a film with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo.
Right.
But Cliffhanger is the one to stand out here, and it made major business, and it was a great big summer hit.
I'll tell you why I remember Cliffhanger. I had just met my now wife that year, a little before that, and I took her to New York City. We stayed at the Times Square Hilton, rented a suite, went to see Cliffhanger at a big theater in New York City in the afternoon. That was a really good memory. And then when we checked out, I got the hotel bill, and I had a little bit of buyer's remorse. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a fun time.
You went to a cliff to hang off of.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I love Cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's a great movie. It really is, and really the pinnacle of
you could argue his best, Stallone's best non-Rocky Rambo movie in terms of action.
Yeah, I agree. And good cast of characters around him. That's another good, you know, when you cast good people around you.
Yeah. I like Daylight also, by the way.
But, yeah, I know you do. Oh my gosh, Chuck. I'm not sure if you and I, but remember when we went to see Jurassic Park and the first trailer that would pop up is the teaser trailer for the Flintstones and the crowd went wild. Well, in 1994, the Flintstones would come out on Memorial Day weekend. And I believe I saw it at the Ziegfeld myself.
We went.
Yeah.
Steve Trullio went too, I believe.
Trullio might have gone.
Shout out. If.
Well, coming off the disaster the week before, Beverly Hills Cop 3 was out. That was actually came out just before Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
The Flintstones actually seems like Citizen Kane next to Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Let me tell you something about the Flintstones. It's a 15-minute concept stretched to a two-hour movie. It doesn't work.
But to prove your point, the best part of that movie is the trailer we saw on Jurassic Park.
Probably.
Nothing reached that height from 1994. But you know what? For the kids, there were some laughs. Halle Berry's in a bikini. I mean, how bad could it be, Chuck? You got Elizabeth Taylor.
Pretty bad.
Yes, you're right, Chuck.
Like I said, 10 minutes of material. Let's do a two-hour movie. Made money, though.
Yeah, it did. It made a lot of money, and they made a sequel, too.
They had a really good cast. If the cast is right, that's not the problem.
Although I debate that Rosie O'Donnell should not have been Betty.
Okay, fair enough.
That's just me. All right, Chuck, in 1995, I remember I was actually traveling cross country, so a lot of these movies, not at home. And I remember Die Hard with a Vengeance came out earlier in May, so it was not a Memorial Day release, but that was in theaters. But Memorial Day weekend, you've got Braveheart comes out along with Casper and Johnny Mnemonic in 1995. Casper was a big hit. Johnny Mnemonic. Keanu Reeves, not so much so, but really the one that stands the test of time here and has lasted forever.
It's Casper.
Is Braveheart. And
it
made major money, too.
For the record, I enjoyed Casper.
It is good. It's decent. It's not bad. Bill Pullman and Christina Ricci. But, you know, it's incredible, though, Braveheart, the length of the film, the type of movie it is, it still made a ton of money and won the best picture. Normally, movies like that wouldn't make money back then, Chuck.
And it has a massive legacy.
Massive legacy. In 1996, Memorial Day weekend would bring us Mission Impossible, the original, and Spy Hard, which was Leslie Nielsen dipping into, I'm not Frank Drebin, but I'm still making these ridiculous movies. That was your Memorial Day weekend for kind of a weak one, although I love Mission Impossible from De Palma. You're not a big fan. But 1996 brought us those two movies.
I'm not a big fan. I thought that actually was a. I thought it was a bad movie. The original Mission Impossible.
Oh, you're way off.
Yeah, I thought it was flat. I thought it was flat, uninspired. Massive disappointment for me.
Well, I guess you watched Spy Hard then a little bit more.
I never seen it.
Well, I was back in the Ziegfeld on Memorial Day weekend, 1997 again, Chuck, because that was the release of The Lost World Jurassic Park. I saw it in that big theater, and it was a hell of a lot of fun, a lot darker. Did they have to go back to the well so much? Maybe not, but watching it on repeat viewing, boy, it's really done well, and that's because Spielberg did it. You watch that next to Jurassic 3, and you could just – one seems like a TV movie, and this seems – the scope of Jurassic Park Lost World is really good.
So why does it get such a split reaction? I enjoyed the heck out of it, too, when we saw it at the Ziegfeld. I thought it was – the crowd loved it. The last 20 minutes is exciting as
great
it gets.
Stuff.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Goldblum's really good in it, too. But probably pound for pound, Chuck, the tallest pair of actors ever in an action film, Vince Vaughn and Jeff Goldblum, both starring side by side. It's like the Twin Towers of action heroes in The Lost World. And, you know, you watch it now, Vince Vaughn's really good in that film.
He is, before he was a big name, though.
Yeah, before he was a big name. And, of course, Julianne Moore is really good, too. Yeah, I don't know why it missed them. You know, some people don't like it. Maybe because they just did basically the same thing over again.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And it's darker.
It is a lot darker. Memorial Day weekend 1998 brought us the pairing of Chris Farley and Matthew Perry in Almost Heroes. Also, Hope Floats with Sandra Bullock comes out. Sweet movie with Harry Connick Jr. And Insomnia, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, which the original Insomnia came out, which, you know, I don't know if anybody knows this, but the Al Pacino, Robin Williams film is not based on original. It's based on this film. So that small film came out. So really, it's Hope Floats and Almost Heroes. It's kind of a weak Memorial Day weekend opening up. I know Sandra Bullock was a big star at the time, but that wasn't the type of vehicle real people wanted to see her in.
No, weak. Weak weekend.
And Forrest Whitaker actually directed that film.
Okay.
Fun fact. That's our fun fact for the week, for the weekend. A good movie on May 28th, 1999. I know you're a big fan of. I am too. It's the pairing of Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant, Notting Hill. Very fun movie from Universal Pictures and a very big hit for both stars.
10 out of 10 for me. I love that film. That good. Maybe her best.
Are you a fan of the underrated horror movie The 13th Floor that came out that same weekend, the science fiction film, which starred Craig Bierko and Gretchen Mol?
Don't remember it too much.
Yeah, I was a tongue in cheek there, just so you know.
I know you were. I know.
I am a Craig Bierko fan.
Really?
Not quite sure why he never made it big. All right. Memorial Day weekend 2000. The Millennium, Chuck. Mission Impossible 2, a major misstep in the series. I am not a fan of that film. And Shanghai Noon came out, which teamed up Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson.
That was a fun one.
Really, yeah, really good. That was a good pairing. I actually enjoyed that as much as I enjoy him with Chris Tucker. A real good film. And Passion of Mind with Demi Moore will come out as well from Paramount.
I got to tell you, Mission Impossible 2, teaming Ethan Hawke with John Woo. It's a weird concoction indeed.
Didn't work. And Doug Ray Scott as the villain, maybe one of the worst villains in a major.
He used doves in the movie, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He liked that imagery.
He liked those doves.
Mm-hmm, he did.
May of 2001, a movie I absolutely abhor, and I think it's a slap in the face to most war movies. Pearl Harbor comes out May 25th of 2001. Chuck, I hated this movie. I thought it minimalized the thousands of people that died in Pearl Harbor. So we care about who Josh Hartnett or Ben Affleck, which one Kate Beckinsale falls in love with. That was the focal point of a movie of this scope. Shame on Michael Bay. I did not like Pearl Harbor in the least.
I went to see it 2 times in the theater with my wife.
Oh, boy.
Then girlfriend.
You got caught up in that romance, I guess, huh?
I liked it. I did. And I thought the action was good. I thought the attack on Pearl Harbor was really well done. Listen, you may not love that film. I don't think it deserves to be trashed the way it did.
It's bad. 2002, the other Insomnia comes out, which is a big hit for Christopher Nolan and Al Pacino, Robin Williams. It comes out against Enough. Chuck, do you remember the J-Lo revenge film, Enough?
I did. Yeah, it's one of those very watchable movies that audiences embraced.
Yeah, Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron came out to a DreamWorks animated film. But Insomnia there is the one that stood out, and I remember seeing it at the theater the week it was released because I was a huge fan of both actors. And also, you know, coming off a big hit with Memento, I remember Christopher Nolan, that movie's really good too, and I said, you know what, this movie's going to be good, these actors, and it really was. All right, Chuck, in 2003, the big movies coming out Memorial Day weekend, Bruce Almighty against the remake of The In-Laws. Now, Bruce Almighty would become a huge hit for Jim Carrey and spawn a sequel. The In-Laws, a minor misstep for Michael Douglas and Albert Brooks. It's never going to live up to the original cult classic comedy, but I enjoyed it. Warner Brothers and Universal Studios going up head-to-head there. Bruce Almighty has the lasting effect here, though.
Yeah, The In-Laws has no legacy at all, let's be honest.
No, but the next weekend's better because finding
Bruce Almighty was a hit, though, and it was good. It was fun.
It was a hit. And Steve Carell, really, that was really when people started realizing his talents. The next weekend, Chuck, Finding Nemo, The Italian Job, and Wrong Turn all come out, and in their own ways, they are all, like, for me, really, really good films. But that wasn't Memorial Day weekend. So that doesn't count, Chuck. Mm-hmm. Just Just so you know. All right, let's go to May, the end of May for 2004, Chuck. And, you know, nothing really stood out for me here as I get the release dates. I'm stalling for time. But Fahrenheit 9/11 came out that time of year, Chuck, and that was a pretty big deal back in the day. Do you remember when that came out?
Listen, we booked it at the theater I'm now involved at, the Pocono Cinema in East Strasburg. Place was absolutely packed, sellout after sellout. And I remember the debate from the audience when that movie ended. Serious influence.
Well, the big movie that would come out that weekend, though, that was The Day After Tomorrow. And I remember, speaking of Fahrenheit 9/11, I remember seeing the theater at the Ziegfeld. I was back at the Ziegfeld Memorial Day weekend. Wow. Michael Moore was actually at the theater watching that film. I'm repeat viewing. It's a lot better. I remember being slightly disappointed when I see it, but it's got a really good cast, and it's actually, it plays a lot better than Roland Emmerich's other later films, and Dennis Quaid's a good anchor at the top.
Let me tell you something about that movie. First half of that movie is really damn good. Second half is sort of just pedestrian.
Yeah.
It plays well, though, on cable, and it plays over and over and over. And that movie has a repeatability, and it does have a legacy. People do. You say to the average person, you ever see Day After Tomorrow, they're going to say, yeah. That's how much airtime. And I'm going to tell you another thing that brings back a memory. That year, what year was this again?
This was 2004.
Okay, 2004. For whatever reason, I won't go into personal. I had a lot of anxiety that year. And I remember sitting in a theater. I had a lot of anxiety. I remember having serious anxiety watching Day After Tomorrow and also Gangs of New York. Mm. I saw both at the Foxmoor in Marshall's Creek.
Well, that's where your anxiety came from.
Probably. But I really did like the heck out of the first half of Day After Tomorrow. I really do. The setup, the cast. I like Emmy Rossum and chemistry with Jake Gyllenhaal, and I like Dennis Quaid. Overall, I do like that film.
It opened up against Soul Plane. Did you have any stress watching that movie?
I don't think I did.
All right, Chuck. Back in 2005, Adam Sandler decided to get the gang together and remake The Longest Yard. That comes out against Madagascar, a big DreamWorks animated film. The Longest Yard, an interesting watch. It was made for people that never saw the original.
Absolutely correct. Here's the thing about that movie. It's very watchable, but I remember sitting in a theater just comparing it note to note to the original, and just, you know, it's just not there.
It doesn't work because here's the level.
There's too many in the cast. There's just too many people in the cast. Oh, my goodness.
And I'm watching it, and, you know, you're watching an Adam Sandler movie. It's quite clear. And at the same time, it's trying to set the same tone that the original film does. And I remember we'd seen one of the buddies who hadn't seen the original, and he's like, I told him, like, you know, Chris Rock's character dies. There's no way they're going to kill that character in this film. And they did, and it just, it didn't work, you know, no. Caretaker. It just didn't.
I agree.
It doesn't resonate like Caretaker does in the original because the tone of the film is a hell of a lot different.
Agree. And I, you know what I also never like? I don't like, it's sort of like when Wolfgang Petersen did the Poseidon, the remake of the Poseidon Adventure, which we talked about a lot because we're huge, my favorite film of all time is the Poseidon Adventure. I cannot stomach when a director or a writer or a screenwriter like dismisses the original property. And they do that a lot. And they'll say like, you know, it was a product of its time. No, it wasn't.
That's not fair.
Let me tell you, Longest Yard, great in the 70s, great in 2020.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Chuck, in 2006, we got X-Men, The Last Stand, and I couldn't tell you which one this was.
Second one.
Is this the second one? Is it any good?
No, it's the third one, actually.
Are you sure it's not the fourth one?
It's directed by Brett Ratner, who a lot of people always, he's a hack, he's a hack. Fans of the canon don't like this film. I did. This movie was fine for me.
Is this the one where they, where the younger actors started playing?
I don't remember. No. Listen, I got to tell you, I'm a fan of superhero movies. Obviously, Batman's my favorite all-time superhero. I love Superman. Love the Avengers. But I'm not that big a fan of X-Men. It just doesn't do a lot for me. I mean, I like the original. I like some of the installments. But overall, don't care very much.
Chuck, Memorial Day weekend, everybody stayed away from Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End in 2007. That's the third one in the series.
I saw it. It was a nice 90-minute movie. Unfortunately, it was 3 hours plus.
True. And you know what came out that day, too?
You know what the word bloated? Look up the word bloated in the dictionary.
Yeah.
You'll see the title of this one.
you'll see the most of the movies in this series. Bug came out that very same weekend, directed by William Friedkin, starring Ashley Judd, a good little horror movie. Mm-hmm. Nobody went to see it, but worth note bringing up now. All right, Chuck, Memorial Day weekend in 2008. Sex in the City makes it to the big screen. I actually enjoyed the first one. The second one's bad. It's not a good movie, but the first one's really good. And The Strangers comes out with Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman. I'm a huge fan of that film, too.
Yeah, I like that one.
Talk about two different, completely different movies coming out. But those are your two movies at the end of May for 2008.
Hey, they've talked about doing a sequel to The Strangers. Did they do a sequel to The Strangers?
Yeah, I think they did.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Well, not with them though.
No.
I like The Strangers though.
Yeah, and Indiana Jones, by the way, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out the weekend before.
Yes, what's weird about it? Let me just tell you a story, okay? A couple nights before a film's released, the reviews pop out of Cannes. They screened it at Cannes. Roger Ebert gives it 4 stars. Gets like a 90-something percent rating on RottenTomatoes.com. I go see it in a theater. Holy smoke. This movie's not good.
It's bad.
And the general public did not like that movie.
No. I don't know what – I remember seeing that same review and thinking the same thing. And, you know, you had Shia LaBeouf swinging with monkeys.
Can hype fool people?
Yeah, I guess. It's but it shows you the power of what a good review can do, because you're thinking, you know what? This is going to live up to the other ones.
You know what you know what the worst feeling going to a movie you highly anticipate and ultimately don't like? It's when the air starts coming out of the balloon and you start to pray it comes back and it doesn't.
It never comes back.
It's an awful feeling.
And then aliens pop up at the end of an Indiana Jones film, and then you know, boy, we've really gotten off the rails here.
Yeah.
I saw that, Chuck, at midnight on Memorial Day weekend, too, on the weekend before. That was another bygone thing that went by the wayside with the Dark Knight shootings from way back when. We don't get those midnight movies anymore.
No.
Memorial Day weekend 2010, the prior decade, Chuck saw the sequel to Sex and the City and Prince of Persia with Jake Gyllenhaal, The Sands of Time, the big Disney movie that flopped at the theater. It was really the first one where Jake bulked up and was going to be a big action hero. And people forgot it was playing in the theaters based on the video game.
I'm a fan, but he's not meant to be an action hero.
No, probably not.
No,
he's better as a not like an action hero doesn't want to be one in The Day After Tomorrow.
Right.
2011, you got another X-Men movie, but it goes up against Kung Fu Panda, X-Men First Class, and I think that's the one that goes back in time. I don't know.
Okay.
And Hangover Part 2, a misguided sequel to the original film.
But made money.
Yeah, made money, but it basically put the characters in the same situation. I believe they were in Shanghai or something like that in this one. I don't know. It would find its way again with Part 3, but nothing's going to compare to the high I got from seeing the original Hangover, Chuck. And it's a comedy classic, to say the least. Remember when Will Smith used to own the 4th of July weekend? Well, in 2012, they got him back with Tommy Lee Jones. Men in Black 3 came out Memorial Day weekend in May of 2012. Chuck, Men in Black 3, the only thing that stands out for me is Josh Brolin and his impersonation of Tommy Lee Jones.
I got to tell you, I don't embrace his franchise wholeheartedly. I like the first one, second one, not so much. I did like the third one a lot, though.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I actually thought it was the best one.
Do you remember why?
I thought it was fun. I love Josh Brolin's character. Those ideas were a lot of fun. I think the stakes were a little higher. This movie worked for me.
All right.
Yeah, I liked it. I did.
I'm not going to argue with you. Okay. 2013, as we're getting closer and closer to us, the memories are richer and richer in our blood.
Are they?
Chuck, coming out in 2013, Memorial Day weekend, you had Now You See Me, The Purge, and After Earth, a huge flop from M. Night Shyamalan and Will Smith. Now You See Me, of course, was the caper film with the all-star cast. But The Purge is the one that somehow spawned a movie series.
Here's the interesting part of the Purge. I didn't see this in the theater. I watched it on DVD when it came out. It's a smaller film with a good idea, and it got split sort of split reviews. Some people liked it, some people didn't. It was the sequels that really capitalized on the concept and became bigger in scope and really damn good, in my opinion.
And, you know, it's weird because I thought this movie was older. It's only 7 years old.
Yeah.
And I think they've made five movies since then. That's kind of, that shows you how much these movies, small budget, are making big bucks.
They do well. And when they added Frank Gallo, those ones are really good.
Yeah. Well, he's a really good actor. 2014, so the pairing of Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt in a decent sci-fi thriller, Edge of Tomorrow, come out against good. Maleficent, the Walt Disney Sleeping Beauty villain movie, which would make mucho bucks. But Edge of Tomorrow, again, this was the, hey, let's put Tom Cruise in a science fiction movie, put a lot of money behind it, and release it on a big weekend, and there's your formula, and it should make some money, and it's a decent movie.
It's a very decent movie. They keep talking about doing a sequel. We'll see.
It's good to see Emily Blunt in that kind of action hero, too.
Yeah,
she's very appealing in that film. Getting closer, just 5 years ago, Chuck, Memorial Day weekend, I got to tell you, I got as big as high watching Jurassic World in theaters as I did maybe even the original. I love Jurassic World and all the high notes it hits, and it just feels like a big summer movie release, and boy, oh boy, was it ever. They nailed it.
I agree completely. It brought back a lot of memories from the original film for me. It was a lot of fun. We booked it at the theater I'm involved in, again, Pocono Cinema, packed house. People love that movie. One guy, a good buddy of mine, who's really an insane overanalyzes. Mike, his guy, his name's Ryan. I'll throw him a shout out. And he's really intelligent. And he loves films. Wanted to be a screenwriter. Went to film school. He analyzes movies to such an extent, walked out, and he never really likes a movie. I don't think he ever really liked a movie. So he walks out. He said, hey, Ryan, what do you think? He goes, I got to tell you something. I have a problem with it. I said, what's your problem? He goes, there's no way an insurance company would insure that park. I said, okay, Ryan.
So he allowed that fact to ruin 2 hours of his life.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure he would really be upset with the movie that came out in 2016.
Yeah.
Just 4 years ago, Memorial Day weekend, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Chuck, there's no way those turtles would be able to survive. In a half shell.
Probably not.
Any memories of that film?
I do not. I don't think I've seen it.
2017, Chuck, at Memorial Day weekend, just a couple of years ago, and it goes to show you how it's starting to wane. It's not as big a deal for movies to come out on Memorial Day weekend. Movie called The War Machine came out on Netflix, and The Mummy was released with Tom Cruise, which kind of just derailed the whole let's bring the monsters back for Universal Pictures.
Yeah, it was a box office failure based on its budget. It's interesting because it's not a bad watch. The problem is Tom Cruise is playing a character that's not very likable. It's just weird. It's a weird mix how you have a lead that's not that appealing, and it's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and then 2 years ago you had Solo come out, Star Wars Story, which I think is underrated.
I like it. I mean, yeah. It's not a movie you're going to say, you know, I can't wait to see it again and again, but I did like it.
I think the best way to describe it is it's good, but not necessary.
Probably.
You know, that's probably the best way.
And also, the original directors who did the Lego movie were canned. Ron Howard came in after a lot of the footage was shot. He reshot a lot of it. So there's always going to be baggage and a preconceived notion when people watch. Hopefully over time, it'll be looked at differently in a positive way.
And then last year, you had Aladdin come out. So another Will Smith. A lot of familiar stars would come out on this Memorial Day weekend, but Aladdin came out, which I actually got a chance to see just last week on Disney Plus, and I enjoyed it. It's light. It's entertaining. Okay. I mean, it's nothing's going to match up to what Robin Williams did, obviously. I thought Will Smith did the best he could. No doubt about it. Godzilla would come out the next weekend, King of the Monsters. And, you know, Chuck, it's interesting because this Memorial Day weekend, the plan is for the Lovebirds to be released on Netflix, which that's it. And that's really sad, the state of affairs that we're in right now compared to all the movies we just went back.
But here's the deal, Mike. All we could do is deal with the hand we're dealt, right, and hope the cards change. And that's the way it is. Going to be a lot of pain in this country in terms of small business going forward. you're in Indiana, I'm in Pennsylvania, and the landscape's a little bit different in terms of people people can't go to a movie theater in Pennsylvania right now. And when they do, it's going to be very limited. People can't go to a restaurant and sit down in Pennsylvania. And that feels weird.
And, you know, a lot of people think, wow, the movies makings, it's not, you know, it's not small business, it's big business. But no, these movie theater owners, that's small business for them. That's, you know, they live or die by receipts of people going in there, and people not going in there really affects the outcome of what they do for
a living. And the interesting thing in closing, and I had a lot of fun during the show, is that, you know, people are creatures of habit. And we're going to see what the trend is in terms of now that people for a few months are getting used to not going to a movie theater.
Yeah.
And they're watching a lot of streaming. What are the habits going to be going forward? I think the longer it goes on, the more the habit will change to what it is now. A little bit more streaming, no?
You're probably right. I know you don't want to hear that, but you're probably right. And nobody's going to want to go out and have to wear a mask at a movie theater. I'm just going to sit at home and watch it. That kind of stuff. You're going to have that attitude when it comes down to it. Uh-huh. Let's hope things change for the better. We get a vaccine soon and we all really get back to some normalcy. Chuck, we'll do this all over again next week, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Mike. See you next week. And everybody out there in the listening audience, stay safe, stay healthy.
This has been a presentation of Opt-In Productions. Thanks for listening to Movie Maniacs. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Download one of our archived episodes or listen to our next new podcasts Friday. Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.